This is Ron Real Entrepreneurship, the show that brings the no-nonsense truth of what is required to start, grow, and scale your business. I am your host, Susan Sly. Well, hey, Ron Real Entrepreneurs. We are about to go into part two of my interview with the founder of AIM7, the one and only Dr. Eric Corum. And before we do, if you didn't hear the first part of the interview, I encourage you to check it out. Eric and I talk about his panic attack, what it took for him to take an idea to inception to start a tech business during COVID. And in this part of the interview, we are going to talk about how to attract amazing tech talent, how to really inspire people, and what it looks like to really live and breathe by a set of core values. And so with that, I want to welcome you to part two of my interview with Dr. Eric Corum. Going back to something you said, I'm curious about the with regard to the core values and really dialing that down. And I sat with that as a co-founder. And so one of the things I did was I boiled it down to two words, because I'm like, you know, having, I love Tony Hsieh's book, Delivering Happiness. I think I read it three times, and, you know, Tony died obviously, but the what he did with the culture at Zappos, and you could call Zappos and forget shoes, they would order a pizza for you. So I kept thinking, Eric, like, how can I boil this down? So we boiled it down to two words, trust and wow. And that's it. So my front end, my head of data visualization, her name is Michio. So she'll create data visuals for the customers. And at first I just took the guardrails off her. I was like, does this build trust? Does it lead to wow? If both of those things work, you just do whatever you want to do. And so there's this one customer and they owned a NASCAR. And so I won't disclose who it is. And what she did when she built their dashboard to visualize the data, their race car that they have spins. So when you log in, you get the spinning their race car with their number. And even with the VCs, trust and wow. If I don't trust you and there's no wow, we're not doing business. And so I had to, and I'm not saying it's right. You know, we're just a little bit further ahead than you guys are right now, but that the two words, because when I go to an employee and say, what's wrong? It's either because something's happened and I don't have trust, or they're not feeling that same wow they once had. So how do we bring back trust and wow?
I just took notes. I really like this. I think that's a great way, you know, to break it down for anybody. Like, if we're not delivering trust and wow, then what are we doing? For me, it's got to be actionable and trustworthy, I think, for us too, because like the trust is so important. Like, if I tell you something to do or make a recommendation, you got to trust that if I do this thing, it's going to elicit a response. And then that goes into the UI, the UX, it goes into customer service, it goes into all. So I love this concept. I think you just kind of steered the direction for our next team meeting on, like, how can we boil this down to two words? I love it.
Well, if you want me to pop by the meeting, I'm more than happy to, because that's the stuff I used to do.
I'm taking you up and I'm going to reach out to your EA. I'm going to reach out to May and get that done.
I need to be in the beta, because I'm still I'm still 12 minutes back of the conversation and thinking about the capacity for stress. And I'm thinking about, so our team went to the National Retail Federation. So I'm going to disclaim this because it is a family show, but Eric and I are going to geek out just for a minute. So, so I wore my Garmin the whole time. Right. And so all day long we were at the booth, we were doing, live computer visions. We knew how many people were coming into our booth, converting, from the aisleways and stuff like that. And they were long days. And then I had business dinner. So I'd have like a cocktail party and then I'd have a business dinner. So I drank a lot of red wine, very transparently. Mm-hmm. My normal resting heart rate in the morning is 47 when I'm meditating.
55, 58?
Yes. Eric, I was so upset. And it was, and the day we're doing the show, I've been back for 7 days. No, 7 days tonight. And I still haven't been able to get it back down into the 40s. And I'm so distressed about that. I'm like, I need your technology because I'm just going, you know, and doing my weight training and running and, you know, all the stuff I do, but maybe I shouldn't be because my capacity for stress is smaller is the hypothesis I have.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So stress has a cost that comes with it. It's called allostatic load, if you want to really get down to the word.
Yes. But
here's the idea. What we're trying to do with adaptive capacity, that's what we call it. It's your gas tank. Okay. How much stress you can adapt to. Every day, though, you only have a certain amount of fuel in that tank. That's like your readiness, right? Or how much adaptive fuel that you have. And when you start, you know, maybe you sucked out a little bit too much with the red wine. That's okay, right? You got to live life. Let's be honest, right? But if you know that these things, you know, the fuel is going to come down, if the tank is bigger, guess what? The tank only went down, you know, a smidgen, right, on the meter. Mm-hmm. But if the tank is small and you had something happen at work or had something at life or you didn't get a good night's rest, guess what? Boom, you drained it a lot and you can feel it. And so that's the idea. You're still operating though. You still look great. You're still alive. You're still active. You know what I'm saying? It's not taking as much. The key is how do you build that bigger tank? And then when you have these perturbations, what are the adjustments that you make? Yeah, you still go work out, but maybe not instead of doing the high intensity session where you're hitting zone 4 or 5, maybe you bring it down to zone 2 because it's going to stimulate your parasympathetic nervous system. We don't tell people that. We just have a button that says body, click it. We tell you what to do. We kind of pare it down, but that's what people need is like, what do I do right now based off of how I feel? I feel like crap. Yeah. I'm unfocused. What mental tool do I use so I can then re-engage and go back into the office and get stuff done?
I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait to use it. I'm very excited. Like I want to now. Let me ask you about data.
Yeah.
So this comes up a lot in, especially biotech, it comes up a lot in computer vision, and data is still not overly regulated yet. So how is your team handling the data question? So what are you, you know, like, I'm a user, Eric, what are you doing with my data kind of thing?
That's a great question. First of all, it's opt-in data. And so there's no HIPAA issues with it right now. We're not crossing over into the medical realm yet, but it's all wearable, right? So it's opt-in, but we de-identify everything. They're separated. So like you're Donald Duck or a string of long characters that, that it's really difficult to access that you really can't. So like in the Firebase store, you're never going to be associated with your name. We're keeping everything app side right now. And we want to build in the capability where let's say 6 months from now, you're like, you know what? Love Dame 7. I'm done. Great. Suck out all your data. It's erased. It's gone. We want to create that capability. We believe that your data is yours. Actually, one of our core values is stewardship. And so I talk to our team a lot about you are stewarding people's data. It is very important that they can trust us. And also when people invest money in this company, we are being excellent stewards of that money. And so stewardship is one of our core values. It's something that I believe that as soon as you lose trust in that area, it's gone. And so we have to do everything we can to demonstrate that we're world-class at that. That includes bringing on great talent, which I can't talk about right now, but I'm working on bringing on one of the best in the world of human performance with data to come join our team. So we're upskilling our talent and making sure that we're doing everything we can to keep your data secure and then give you the option at any time you can download it or delete it from our system.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the reality is that the biggest data vulnerabilities usually come from the users, not from the companies, because it's the person who uses the same password, like Mickey Mouse 25 on every single thing or, you know, whatever.
Once and it's over for everything.
Yeah. And exactly. They're not rolling passwords, that kind of thing, but data anonymity is huge. Our CTO of our company, co-founder, he was the CTO at the largest privately held healthcare database company in the world. So the first thing we started with was privacy, right? So that it is a big topic. And then it comes down to the reality is, as humans, what would we trade our data for? Would we trade it for convenience? Would we trade it for longevity? Would we trade it for a sense of belonging? And and so when we see, there's a one of my professors at MIT wrote this whole sort of paradigm, and I will find it and send it to you off air.
I love it.
But what she talked about is the seven things we would trade our data for. And so when I think about AIM 7, right? And I think about the opportunities for the users beyond building their capacity for stress, there are all sorts of aspects of that. But guess what, listeners all over the world, I'm not going to share those thoughts with you all publicly because Eric and I are not under NDA, but I have lots of ideas for you.
I love it. This is phenomenal. I'm taking notes on this. This is, that's a brilliant, I mean, that's like a meta discussion right there of like what you'd be willing to trade your data for. But there are certain things like heart rate, HRV, steps, how many minutes did you do mindfulness? We're not, you know, we're interested in the models of this high level data that's just not even being used very well, of how you can use that stuff to go, okay, now what actions do you take to change these objective and subjective outcomes, which nobody's really tapping into yet. How you feel is a much more sensitive measure of where your body biologically is going or how it's adapting than just heart rate measure. And so there's some really cool stuff we do with that. We combine both. So you fill out a quick 20-second questionnaire in the morning based off of how you're feeling. Then we combine that with the objective data. And then that's how we create these algorithms that create the recommendations. Cause there's nothing worse than like, my Aura is a great device, whatever, you go in there and it's like, hey, you know, you didn't sleep well last night. Your body's like this. And you're like, no, I feel fine. You know, there's this massive disconnect and it creates distrust with the device because there is research that shows that if you look at your device and it says your readiness isn't very good, it can affect your performance that day. And so what we don't want people to think is just because things may be down doesn't mean you can't get something done.
Yeah.
If you have the flu and a bear chases you, guess what? You're sprinting, but there's going to be a cost at the end of that. And so there's, I sympathize with wearable tech users because a lot of the feedback they're getting is really poor and it can shape their mindset in a bad way.
That's so brilliantly said, especially if someone doesn't have that background and they don't have the discernment, because that's where, you know, I get concerned with a lot of the tracking apps that, you know, my daughters might use for various, like, you know, body stuff that goes on. And right. Then even, you know, my Garmin, it's like, oh, your readiness is whatever. It's only getting one data input because it's not getting, I don't always click it when I'm doing a workout. Right? Like I might do hot yoga and I'm not setting the timer, and the studio I go to, it's about 124 degrees. I'm not setting, I know how many calories I burned. I know how I'm going to feel. And so to that point, it's not necessarily accurate in terms of telling me, oh, you should go run 11 miles right now. Right. So I'm excited about AIM 7. When can the regular humans get access to it? Like the I'm a regular human, so, but not like, when can the non-beta testers get it?
Well, so we're going to keep it in private beta, which means that if you go to the website and you click get early access, you sign up, if you write in there where you heard from this, you say I heard it from Raw and Real podcast, we'll move you right up to the front. Cool. And so what we're doing is we're onboarding cohorts. So it's a real white glove experience. So what's going to happen is the first month in the app, you get 4 Zoom coaching sessions with me. Well, we're going to talk about these things about sleep and mental health and mental fitness and how to build adaptive capacity, because we really want to understand people's pain points and really be close to them. And it's $15 a month. This isn't like a super expensive app. We're going to do that for the first 10,000 customers. So, and then we'll roll it out into the app store. So we're doing this for a very specific reason, because the power of what we're building is models. And so we want to engage with our customers. We want to understand their pain points. We want to make sure that the these mind, we have five pillars for building adaptive capacity. We're an inch wide and a mile deep on three: sleep, exercise, and mental fitness. And we want to get super granular on those before we stretch out to other ones. And mm-hmm. so if you put in there, you sign up and you put in there, you heard it on the show, we will move you right up to the front of the line.
Awesome. I love that. It's early access and honestly much needed. I've had my best friend died of stress. He was an entrepreneur. He called me one day. He's like, I gave myself cancer. And I'm disclaiming this. I'm not saying AIM-7 is going to save anyone's life. But one thing I will say is that the pushing and that, just hustle and sleep is optional and, all that stuff. I love this personalized, customized approach to say, this is how much gas is in your tank. And this is, this is how you choose to use it or whatever. And the predictive aspect, once there's enough data for the individual, is going to be huge, because one of the use cases I can see, Eric, is for an entrepreneur, someone like myself, to say, oh, Susan, we want you in Atlanta. You can come Monday or you can come Wednesday. And I can see myself looking at AIM-7 and making a decision based on when I'm going to be at peak.
You're articulating our roadmap.
There's another study. I won't. So University of Florida, you're probably aware of the study on decision fatigue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that famous study, I wrote about it in a paper like a million years ago, but like all of that stuff is real. If you're not feeling optimal, you're going to make bad decisions. As an entrepreneur, it might cost you millions of dollars in funding. It might cost you getting the deal. It might cost you attracting the best, UI person or whatever it is. Eric, I'm excited.
Thank you. I'm excited. We're feeding off of this. It's just really great to have somebody with your background and expertise and health and well-being. It's also, an elite entrepreneur. I mean, what you're doing right now, a fraction of companies get to a Series A level. And I'm excited for you and what you guys are doing. And I'm here to support in any way I can. And I really have a passion for entrepreneurs. Now that I'm in this world, I'm like, golly, these folks are taking on so much risk and so much stress. And there's a way to thrive under this. And it can make you stronger. But you have to build the right parameters and you have to have the right tools in the toolkit. And it looks a little bit different for everybody. And there's certain things that some people need to lean into. Maybe they overvalue physical, which is great, but they haven't really put much into the mental health bank. Well, that's going to be sucking your tank. Well, maybe you put a lot over here, but you're not really moving that much. Well, there's a price to be paid there. So if you can kind of just find a balance, there's a lot to be gained.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for being here. I know thank I could keep going because there's so many things that I want to talk to you about, but I'm sorry, kids. Eric and I are going to be talking off air, and I know what you're saying. Anyway, if this show has been helpful to you today, Eric and I would love a 5-star review. So head on over to iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon, all the places you listen to the show. And if I read your review on air, I will give you, and you also have to email us at reviews@susansly.com. And if I read your review on air, point us to where you reviewed it, I will give you a $50 Amazon gift card. Because guess what? Algorithms make a difference. Some of the shows out there, they're charging guests to be on there. We do not do that. The whole goal with the show is to have friends like Eric share their journey with you, inspire you, for you to get bleeding edge information on how to start your business. So with that, God bless. Go rock your day. Everyone check out AIM7.com. And with that, I will see you in a future episode of Raw and Real Entrepreneurship.
Hey, this is Susan, and thanks so much for listening to this episode on Raw and Real Entrepreneurship. If this episode or any episode has been helpful to you, you've gotten at least one solid tip from myself or my guests, I would love it if you would leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. After you leave your review, go ahead and email reviews@susansly.com. Let us know where you left the review. And if I read your review on air, you could get a $50 Amazon gift card, and we would so appreciate it because reviews do help boost the show and get this message all over the world. If you're interested in any of the resources we discussed on the show, go to susansly.com. That's where all the show notes live. And with that, go out there, rock your day. God bless. And I will see you in the next episode. Are you currently an employee looking to start your own business? Maybe you've been thinking about it for a while and you're just not sure where to start. Well, my course, Employee to Entrepreneur, combines my decades of experience as an entrepreneur with proven methods, techniques, and skills to help you take that leap and start your own business. This course is self-paced, learn on demand, and comes with an incredible workbook. And that will allow you to go through this content piece by piece by piece, absorb it, take action, and then go on to the next module. So check out my course on susansly.com, Employee to Entrepreneur.